This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Less than a year after taking the North Carolina State Wolfpack to the Final Four, head coach Kevin Keats is without a job. Let me repeat that to you. Less than 1 year removed from taking the North Carolina State Wolfpack to the Final Four, head coach Kevin Keats has been fired by NC State. I mean, I'm going to look at the history of the NCAA Final Four, and I don't think I'm going to see NC State's name there a whole lot of times, okay? I really don't think I am. Now, maybe three, four, I don't know, but I mean, I know. I mean, I got some knowledge of college basketball. I don't remember NC State being a perennial Final Four contender. If you took that team to the Final Four last year, okay, it says here that NC State went 12-19 this year, 5-15 ACC. So what? I was in the Final Four last year. Do you know how much money that brought to that university in Raleigh, North Carolina last year that man took NC State to the Final? We're not talking North Carolina, not the university. We're not talking Chapel Hill. We're not talking Duke, okay? We're not talking Florida State. We're not even talking Miami. Those are the power, Syracuse, okay? We're talking about the NC State Wolfpack was in the Final Four last year. And they got the nerve to fire their coach because he had a down year less than a year later. That man going to be without a job for about five whole minutes. Somebody's going to call that man before the night is over and say, sir, would you like to be our next head coach? In eight seasons at North Carolina State, he was 151-113. Do you know how many teams in NCAA basketball would like to have a winning record of 151-113 after eight seasons? And this man took you to a Final Four and you're going to fire him less than a year later? Get out of here. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Welcome back to Time Out with Eric Slaughter here on this Sunday evening, 6:02 in the Kia Studios. And you can already tell the difference because 2 weeks ago, if I would have told you it was 6:02, you would have your headlights on, your porch lights on. Kids have to be inside. What's that? Hey, Dom, did your mom ever say to you, boy, you better be in this house when those streetlights come on?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have that rule?
Yep.
They don't have that rule no more. I mean, kids don't even go outside no more, do they?
Everybody's inside. Phones.
But yeah. Here it is, 6 o'clock on a Sunday night, and it looks like it's 2 in the afternoon. Even though it's been kind of overcast here in Atlanta today, it's going to be kind of gray. It's 6 o'clock, and we still got sunshine. That's what daylight savings time does for you. It'll be in 2-3 weeks from now. It'll be 8:30 at night. And guess what? Sun's still going to be just starting to set. That's the beautiful thing. And now that we're going to get back to 70-degree-like temperatures here in the ATL, because this week was bull. This week was good. Dom, if I tell you on Wednesday night this week, I was at beautiful Milton High School up in North Fulton of, you know, the area here in Atlanta. And I'm on the baseball field, and there was sleet coming down.
Yeah.
Sleet coming down. We're out there playing high school baseball on Wednesday night because the temperature dropped into like the high 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm looking at 73 degrees on a Sunday. So 3 days ago, we were in the 30s with sleet. And then Thursday night, it was cold again. And finally, we are back. I hope it's over. No more winter-like mixes, winter-like storms, or cold weather weeks here in ATL.
Yeah, I just want the consistency. You know, I can deal with either or. Because wow. I like the cold weather. So if it's going to be cold, that's completely fine. I just want it to be consistent.
You're right. Get 8-10 weeks of cold weather. That's usually what we average.
Exactly.
And then can we get our break into spring weather? I think it's finally here. But yeah, Wednesday night, my guys, I'm going to give my guys my shout out. I was out there with Robert Grimblin and Eric Conyer. So those are my two guys that I was on the field with Wednesday. My man Eric was behind the plate. I was on third base. And he said he started hearing tink, 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 tink as the sleet was hitting off his face mask. And he was behind the plate. I'm like, yeah, it was crazy. And my guy Robert, who was at first base, right? I'm at third base. And we have different times where we're supposed to rotate and get to different places.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, we both was like frozen. Like, I ain't going nowhere. You know, yeah, he no kept yelling, move. Yeah. I'm like, man, are you crazy?
Too cold to move.
I'm too cold to move. He kept looking at me, man, you better get your butt to third base. I'm like, I'm staying right where I'm at. If he's out, I'm going to call him from over here.
So, actually, before we move on, because you talking about being a ref there and mm-hmm. umpire and stuff yeah. like that. So, I know you do baseball. Do you do other sports as well?
So, I am a three-sport Georgia high school refereeing official.
Okay.
So, if you do three sports, we'll call what we call a triple crown,
mm-hmm.
and we get a little award every year. So, I do one sport each season, and they fall. So, Georgia is one of the few states in the country, I think there may be 6, 7, or 8, that does softball in the fall. So okay. we play softball in August, September, and October. Most states do softball and baseball at the same time as a spring sport. So it means it starts in February or March and goes until May. Not Georgia. Georgia does softball in the fall. So football and softball going on at the same time. So I do softball in the fall. Okay?
Gotcha.
In the winter, I go to basketball. Okay? Now, I am not a full-on basketball official like some people, because softball and baseball are my major sports. Basketball starts in late October, runs all the way through the last or first week of March, because we just had our basketball championships here for the state of Georgia this weekend. I want to say the final games were last night. Wheeler was in the 6A championship for like the 15,000th time in a row. And if I had to guess, they probably won it. You can maybe look it up for me, see who won the Georgia High School 6A title game. That was last night. So if you are a big-time basketball referee in this state, shouts out to all my guys who do basketball. Your season just ended in the last week of February or the first week in March. Now, I am a high-level baseball guy. I'm one of the top baseball guys. You shaking your head. Wheeler won again?
Wheeler 61, Newton 56.
Okay, so that's like Wheeler's fifth in a row or five out of the last seven, something crazy like that. Wheeler's a basketball powerhouse in this state. So those basketball refs are putting up their whistle for the year. They're done. You know, they'll go do their summer ball, AAU and all that stuff. But baseball starts in January here in Georgia. It's crazy. Third week in January, they can start scrimmages. First week of February, we start the regular season. So I'm back on the baseball field by the second or third week of January. Now,
okay.
Sometimes, cold. Sometimes we'll get that 1 or 2 weeks in January where we get 70-degree weather.
Yeah,
and it's
nice.
Kind of crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and then we'll have a week nice, week cold again. Week nice, week cold again. So like Dom said, can we just get it all out the way?
Yeah,
and
some
get turned?
Consistency.
Yeah.
So between the three, which one do you enjoy officiating the most and which one is the most difficult?
So I enjoy softball the most, believe it or not. The softball here in high school Georgia is some of the best in the country. And I tell people all the time, especially the guys that I've brought with me from baseball to softball, is a smaller field, 60-foot bases. The games are quicker. Sometimes you can be out there with baseball, and you're out there three and a half
yeah,
hours.
Yeah.
Don't happen with softball, okay? One of the biggest reasons with baseball, and you know, and that's why MLB has changed so many things. 2 years ago, Major League Baseball changed the rule where you only can pick off two times. That third time, if you don't get them, they get a bag, okay? You'll be in high school game, and you'll see a pitcher pick off five times to the leadoff guy. And be like, look, man, stop all this, okay?
Yeah, what are we doing?
What are we doing? There are no pickoffs in softball, okay? Softball pitchers maybe throw three pitches. They throw a fastball, a changeup, and if they're really good, you throw a backdoor curve, okay? But most of them, they throw a fastball, and that thing's coming. Pow, 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 strikeout. Pow, 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 strikeout. That game goes really fast, really fast. You rarely see a high school softball game go more than 2 hours. Rarely. So I love softball. Love it, love it, love it. Basketball is the most difficult. It's the one sport of all the sports where the fans right on top of you. You hear everything they got to say.
Point.
You
yeah.
go right down the court. Bad call, ref. Bad call, ref. The coaches. Coach can walk right up to you. Even though they can do it in football if you're on the wing, you know. But they walk yeah. right up to you. Man, how you miss that? Will you didn't see my guy getting, you know. How many times has Coach Q walked up to an NBA official like, they're killing Trey.
Right, right.
Why can't we get a yeah. whistle? And you got to turn right to him. Coach, you better get up on my back. But that's basketball. That is
yeah.
basketball.
Yeah.
I love basketball. I'm like Curtis Bowe. Basketball is my favorite sport. Like the way they dribble up and down the court. My favorite play is the alley-oop. You don't know nothing about that. That's way before your time.
Who don't know nothing about Curtis Blow? Come on now.
But you knew what Bow Wow did the remix.
That's all. I keep on trying to tell you. I'm a little bit of an old soul. I know a little bit about
yeah,
a little bit.
Man, yeah, but yeah, basketball is my favorite sport as a sport overall. It's real 1A, 1B, basketball to football. But refereeing basketball, which is fun, gets me out on the court, gets a few pounds off of me every year. That's the hardest game because, first off, it moves so fast. It moves so fast, and you got to really know what you're looking for as a basketball official. You can really tell the guys who really are dedicated to their craft because the first thing for all the new officials out there, anybody that's ever been interested in basketball officiating, Dom, maybe you've ever heard this, the hardest part of the game for a basketball official to get rid of is watching the ball, okay? In baseball and softball, you better watch that ball because if you don't, you will get plunked right upside the head. Boop! The minute you take your eyes off that ball,
yeah.
it's coming right at you.
Yeah.
In basketball, you have to watch your specific area, just like football, okay? In football, if you're a deep official, you want a deep back, so the middle official, you got to watch what's happening in front of you. The running back could be 30 yards down the field on another assignment. You got to watch right what's right in front of you. But football is a really big field, okay? The basketball court's very small, so it's very easy to get caught up watching the basketball. And if you keep doing that, you're going to miss a foul that's right in front of you, an elbow that gets thrown, a holding or something that is restricting a player's offensive ability. If Trey Young is trying to hit double O and double O's trying to go down the baseline and the power forward is holding him, well, they're not going to be able to run the play. And I got to call that because you're restricting, just like holding in football, you're restricting what the big man can do. He can't get to his spot, and now Trey's got to dribble, dribble, dribble. Because you can't get him to the spot because I'm holding him. Happens all the time. If I'm not watching my air, if I'm watching Trey dribble, instead of watching this elbow that somebody just gave double O,
yeah.
well, I missed my foul. And that's why they can't run that play. And they'll say, hey, ref, they holding my big man. He can't move because you ain't paying attention. Pay attention. Don't watch the ball. And there's my my refereeing lesson to you for today.
Don't watch the ball.
Don't watch the ball. It's the hardest thing to do. And you can tell. You can tell when a ref will admit, you know what, I got caught up ball watching. Especially when Steph Curry's out there doing his thing.
Man.
How can you not watch that?
You got me. I was a spectator. Yeah. I was a fan of that moment.
And
sorry.
I missed that foul. Sorry. 404-726-0929.
I'll get you with the makeup call.
Yeah, with the makeup call.
I say, is that a real thing for you as an umpire?
Absolutely.
Makeup call?
Absolutely. On a miss, when behind the plate, when you miss a strike that everybody knows you missed that strike. Dom, this goes back about 5 years ago. I'm doing a game, and there's a kid in high school who's bringing it 97 at least.
Okay.
Okay? And it's different. You know, most kids in high school top out 92, maybe 93.
Yeah.
When you get 95 and above, it's a different thing, okay? And a kid pumped a strike in there that was so pretty at 97 miles an hour, and I just froze, okay? And I heard, I don't know if it was a coach or a spectator, and he goes, he must have blinked. And I was like, and I even told him, like, catch, I missed it. My bad. That thing came so fast. And then another guy goes, I'll tell him to slow it down for you, Blue. Because that thing said, pow. And I'm like, that should have been strike three. And you know what? Next pitch might have been a little off the plate, but I looked right at it and said, strike three.
Yep,
and
yep.
I was like, if you took that other one, there's no way in the world you shouldn't have swung at this one. I don't care where it was. I'm giving this man this strike that I owe him. They didn't coming off the coach just laughed. He was like, that thing was moving, wasn't it, Blue? Like,
man.
My God, that thing's moving. First off, you praying to catch it. Okay? Cause when you see 97 coming at you and you ain't got no glove, You know what I'm saying? I can't duck out the way like the batter.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, dude, if you miss this ball, so yeah, it's just a little different. Just, I don't know. I once had a dream of being a major league umpire, but, you know, if Aroldis Chapman's up there pumping it in 105 miles per hour and they can't move and they see this thing coming, that takes
You just got to stare it down. You just got to stare it down.
Real skill. Real skill. You know, that's how it is, man. 404-726-0929. We didn't talk any college basketball, did we?
No, we got a little bit in there at the beginning.
You know, I had a whole bunch of notes. You know, University of Georgia will play in the first round. They'll play Oklahoma in the SEC tournament. So, you know, I had a cut from the coach that I wanted to play. We'll save that for another day. You know, yeah. Go ahead. You want to cue it up real quick? Coach, are you into the playoffs? No. You got the music coming? Don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about it. Georgia won. They won their fourth straight game. And, there you go. They will play Oklahoma in the first round. They beat Oklahoma. They'll play Kentucky. I'll ask Deshaun Tate that question coming up because he's going to join me next. Have the Georgia Bulldogs done enough to get into the playoffs? The NCAA tournament. I know one team that's going into the tournament and going to go in there and make some havoc, and that's his team, the Michigan State University Spartans. We're going to talk about that next here on Sports Radio 929 The Game. Timeout with Eric Slaughter. Don't go anywhere. We come back, more college hoops, and we're all day every day on the Odyssey app.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, timeout with Eric Slaughter on this Sunday night, the 9th day of March of 2025. And I tell you, when the calendar turns to March, my next guest just gets up every day singing and smiling and sips his coffee. It tastes a little better and the birds chirp a little more because this is his time to shine. And I know you're going to hear his voice on Sports Radio 929 The Game a lot over the next 4 to 6 weeks, but you heard it first with me on Time Out with Eric Slaughter, and that is the one and only Deshaun Tate of Tate's Takes Hoops here. Deshaun, my man, congratulations and welcome back to Sports Radio 929 The Game. First off, how you feeling on this daylight saving Sunday afternoon?
I was just telling, first of all, thanks for having me on. I was just telling your producer, he asked me the same question, how am I feeling? Is that a trick question? Like, I ain't know. I've only waited 11 months at this point to get here, but you was talking about singing and this and that and the other. First of all, you congratulated me. I didn't do a single thing, so I don't know what you congratulate me for.
I'll tell you what I'm congratulating you for. Go ahead. I can only assume.
Mm-hmm. But I will say, speaking of singing, dude, like, you can hear the carols and the, you know, you always know that when you hear one person's voice, right, that you know it's Christmas time. Mariah Carey, of course. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing the Mariah Careys right now. That can only mean that it's March and that it's Christmas in the Tate residence.
There it is. Deshaun Tate joins us on Sports Radio 9th Game. You can follow him on the Twitter and the X at Tate Takes Hoops. And I'm congratulating him because his team, the old Spartans of Michigan State, took down their rival today, University of Michigan, and finished in first place in the Big Ten. Tom Izzo, who's been in the news all year, got a big career-type win early in the year. Were they predicted to win this Big Ten regular season like they did?
Absolutely not. I think they were expected to finish. I think someone had them at best maybe fourth. Wow. I heard quite a few people about, around fifth, somewhere right up in that range. But, no, I mean, it's just – it's typical Sparty, and these are the typical teams that, you know, Tom Izzo usually puts out there and overachieves with and is successful. When you start looking at filling out that bracket, by no means, by the way, I'm not saying Michigan State going to win the whole thing, but this can be a little bit of help, maybe like a a free space on the bingo card, as I like to call it, when you start getting ready to fill out those brackets and getting down to this point of the season. It's about some of those Hall of Fame coaches, those big name coaches, and about the depth. You know, with Michigan State obviously going very deep into the bench and experienced guards and things of that nature. So that kind of helps you out with your bracket just a little bit when you start focusing on who, you know, got the chances of going on and advancing and so forth. Some of those more experienced teams, if you will, are the ones that are typically cutting down nets. But no, big win for Michigan State, obviously, but there's still a lot more work to do for Michigan State as there is for some other teams as well.
All right, we're going to talk about some of those other teams as I have you here for the next 10, 12 minutes or so. We're going to break down the world of college basketball as we are exactly pretty much 1 week to the actual minute away from the brackets being released this time next Sunday, right about this 6:30 hour. We should know who the top teams are. You can start filling them out, start making your wagers, and start getting your cough ready. Boss, I can't come to work on Thursday because I'm going to spend all day watching college basketball, one of the best 2 weeks there is, the first 2 weeks of the NCAA tournament. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions, and you can give me your big thoughts on some of these teams. Let's go up to New York, where Rick Pitino, all 70-whatever years he has the St. John's Red Men, Red Storm, whatever you call them these days, just playing some of the best basketball in all of college basketball. They've won like 19 of their last 20. One of the only teams to beat them this year was the Georgia Bulldogs. I mean, what is going on up there with the St. John Red Storm?
Yeah, I think you got to start out with the elephant in the room, Rick Pitino, right, taking yet another team to the NCAA tournament. We've seen it multiple times. I think we saw it over at Boston U with the Terriers. I think we've seen it at Providence when he was coaching Billy Donovan, and
Friars,
obviously,
man.
Louisville, Kentucky. He took Iona a couple years ago to the NCAA tournament. Now going to take St. John's, who I would anticipate would be a 2 seed around this time next week. But obviously playing very well on both sides of the ball, especially on the defensive side. We know that that's primarily what he's known for. But when you got a guy like R.J. Lewis, who's going to be up for a conference player of the year in the Big East, you get a transfer out of Syracuse named Kadarius Richmond, who's good. He's got a lot of size and some potential to go with him. And then we can't leave out a guy who's currently injured, but I fully anticipate him coming back relatively soon because he is from Georgia, Grayson High School, that is. Davon Smith, who's had jumped around to some different teams and what have you, Georgia Tech being one of them for a small stint, but he is one of the more athletic, experienced guards that is easy to root for, especially if you're from around this market. Davion Smith has done some really, really good things for the Red Storm.
All right. You hear that knowledge, ladies and gentlemen? That knowledge only comes from one college basketball source, and that is my man Deshaun Tate joining us right now on the WadeFor.com hotline. Let's go back here local. I brought it up in the last segment. I wanted to get your opinion. Coach Mike White says in his postgame press conference yesterday after the Georgia Bulldogs beat the Vanderbilt Commodores, win their fourth straight game to finish the regular season, that he believes they've already done enough to get in. Then they will face Oklahoma on Wednesday in the first round. If they can take down Oklahoma, they'll face Kentucky in the second round. But I'm asking you, do they need to win a game in Nashville, or should the Georgia Bulldogs get an invitation to the dance?
I don't think that they're a lock for the dance. I think that if you're Mike White, those are things that you're supposed to say. Outside of that, I think that they have helped themselves within the court over the course of the last week and a half, maybe 2 weeks, to solidify themselves to hearing their name called next Sunday. But by doing more work, obviously, you know who's up next. You got Oklahoma, who's also on the bubble. That could likely be a situation where, you know, the winner moves on and still has a little bit more work to do. You have to have the mentality that even if you do win that game, which is I feel like the loser is automatically not getting in, but you have to have the mentality that you are not automatically in if you do win that game and that you still have more work to do. So give credit to Georgia, man, for, you know, being a team that is playing within, you know, the toughest conference in the country, obviously one of the best players in the country. Not only that, he's also a freshman, Ace Newell, on top of that big man in the middle for them, has been really good for them all year long. And Georgia's definitely taking some steps. Are they baby steps? Sure, that's fine. But to get to where they want to be and to be competitive first within your own conference, I think that you have to be able to do some of the things that we've seen them do as of this year. And so you got to give some credit to Georgia because they all year long, they have been one of those teams that you know just walking right in there, whether they're in Athens or whether they're on the road. You know that you're not just going to be able to just, you know.
They're going to give you a tough contest. Yeah, day in
for
and day
sure.
out.
No question.
Continuing in the SEC. So, number one, Auburn goes down on the road. I'm sorry, at home. Alabama goes into their house, I believe, and takes them down. Loses at home. Yeah, they lost at home, Alabama. They had beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa correct. A few weeks back. But the SEC is just going to be a gauntlet. Are we going to hear 10 teams called out of SEC? Is that asking too much? What do you think?
I don't know. I think, you know, 10, I think, is likely. I think that's very likely. I'm hearing some people going all the way up to, like, 15, which I think is a stretch. I think somewhere between 10 and 12 is the most realistic thing, only because you have some of these teams, like your Vanderbilts, like your Georgias, like your Oklahomas, that are right there on the bubble. All three of those teams cannot win the conference tournament. All three of those teams won't make it to the conference tournament championship game, obviously. And you also have to automatically assume that there are going to be some bid stealers, as there is every year, where the best team in whatever conference, right, insert conference here, that and not every team is going to win their conference tournament. And some teams that aren't thought of are just going to come out of nowhere, and they're going to burst the bubbles of one of these, you know, Vandys or Georgias and so forth. So, I think that's probably the main thing is that, again, having that mentality that our bubble could be burst at any point, one game at a time, and just try to keep on advancing in this conference tournament is going to be the name of the game for a team like Georgia and some of the others in the SEC.
You know, Deshaun, I was doing my notes, and I was going to ask you a question. And I was looking at several of these conferences. I know the Big Ten does it now, and the ACC. I was surprised to see all these conferences now have 20 regular season conference games. It just seems like so much. And then when I look at what I'm about to ask you next, the fact that Duke went 19-1 in ACC conference play. I mean, I'm an ACC guy. I mean, my Maryland Terps are now part of the Big Ten. You know a little bit about that. But to see a team go 19-1 in conference play, does that say more about Duke being just so dominant and they'll probably be number one this time tomorrow for the first time of the year, or is the ACC down this year?
Combination of both. I don't think you can say such things without mentioning how good Duke has been. You're not just rolling out of the bed and you've got Duke across your chest, and there don't even have to be 18 teams that's in your or 20 games lined up, and it feels like 18 teams within your conference to know that that's the game that everybody's going to have circled on their calendar, not because of just Cooper Flagg who's going to be number one in the draft in June, but also because it's just Duke, and that's what Duke does. That one game that they lost, I can tell you right now, that's the one that I want to see for the conference tournament championship, the one against Clemson. I think everybody's talking about Duke, and if I'm Clemson, I'm loving that because nobody's talking about the team that's returning a good portion of their roster that's returning from an Elite Eight run on last year. So, Duke went on a run to the Elite Eight last year as well. So I think ultimately, you know, that you got to give credit to Duke. You got to mention that Duke earned it. And did it the hard way. You know what I mean? They only lost one game within the conference, but you also do have to mention, you know, that the ACC is having a relatively down year. Louisville is still a pretty good threat. I like to think maybe not as much in March Madness, but certainly for this conference tournament, they can come out of nowhere and win. And, you got some other teams that are mediocre and that also want to, you know, North Carolina's on the bubble themselves. They know what they had to do. Last night, they didn't do it, and they know that the road to get to that point of hearing their names called is going to be, you know, just that difficult of a task to kind of climb. So I'm sure that they want to see if they can meet up with Duke again in the title game, too. So we'll see. We'll see.
Couple more minutes here with Deshaun Tape on Timeout with Eric Slaughter as you're joining us. He is joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline. I got a couple more questions here on a lineup for him. So, the mid-majors are mostly getting their tournaments done between now and Wednesday before the big tournaments take over. Any mid-major that we can really keep an eye on this year? Anybody that you say, they got what it takes. They got a senior-laden lineup or a really good coach like they do over there at St. Mary's or Gonzaga with Mark Few. Any mid-major that we can say, yeah, I can see them punching their ticket to San Antonio. We're going to the San Antonio this year.
Yeah, exactly. No, seriously. I think that I mean, definitely got to take a look over there at Will Wade and what he's doing over at McNeese State. I think that they have a good enough team to be able to win a game in the NCAA tournament. I mentioned them on last year. They weren't able to get it done, and they weren't the only ones. I think a team, we were talking about Patino. Stick with them, Patino, talking about his son, Richard Patino, that's there in New Mexico, got one of the better guards in the country named Donovan Dent. And I think that they have a really good chance to be able to make some noise, too. They're not a mid-major. They're more like a high major. They're not quite Power 5, but I think they're fitting for that conversation. And then, you know, I feel like you really have to mention Grand Canyon. Grand Canyon has had a good team the last few years. Haven't been able to win a game, but they're, you know, returning some pieces to that team as well. So I think it's important to keep Grand Canyon in mind. And there's definitely a few others, but I do think that one to keep an eye on maybe is VCU, who has made a run. It's been a while, but has made a run in the NCAA tournament, getting all the way back, you know, getting to the Final Four in 2011. That Atlantic 10 Conference, I can tell you right now, is really going to be one to see, because they've got so many really good teams in that conference that I think could potentially come out of there and represent. You know, when you start looking at teams like VCU, George Mason is pretty good. We saw them do it before. Dayton is not bad. Loyola Chicago, last time we were in San Antonio for this thing in 2018, we saw them. And then the last team is St. Joe's as well. Who's been making some noise within the conference. So if there's one particular conference tournament that's not in the Power 5 that I'm going to be trying to keep an eye out for, it's probably going to be the Atlantic 10, because somebody can really do some damage and make some noise and bust up some people's brackets, whoever wins that conference tournament, assuming it would be maybe one of those four or five teams.
I'm going to say it again. This kind of knowledge only comes from the brain of one guy, the guru of college sports, and he's a part of the family of here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. That's Deshaun Tate. Now, Deshaun, before I let you go, I'm going to change it up on you just a little bit. I know the men's game is where your heart is, but I know you can speak very eloquently about what's going on in the girls' game. And just, I said it to Dom earlier, I mean, 9 out of the last 11 SEC tournaments go to South Carolina. 3 of the last 5 national championships go to South Carolina. What Dawn Staley is doing over there, I mean, give me a good minute on just the dominance that she's got going over in Columbia, South Carolina.
I'll say this much, right? I will never pretend to be this person that will speak on things that I'm not as familiar with. I guess I better get familiar with the girls' game a little bit more. I've only got 360-something teams on the men's side to keep up with, but now having a daughter, I guess I better start watching. But just in regards to what Staley has been able to do, I think obviously it's been phenomenal. I love the culture that she's not only built there, but also being a person that attends many of the athletic, you know, games that they have within their athletics program in general, no matter the sport, and how she supports. And listen, when you're playing South Carolina, you've got a big target on your back too. And she doesn't mind being very vocal when they go out there and win basketball games and championships. So I know that, you know, you got some UCLAs. I know you got some USCs. I know that you got some Notre Dames and Texas and some other teams as well. I just love the what they've done lately with the girls game in terms of promoting it, getting more eyes and ears on it as well, more people talking about it. Staley has done obviously a good job, and she's not the only one, but I think for the way that she's kind of spearheaded some things within this girls game, or got it back to where it was at one point in time, where I do think it was a little bit more respectable. I think that that's good, especially here on the collegiate level.
Well, Deshaun, I had to throw that curveball at you, and I appreciate it. You still knocked it out the park. Don't worry. Don't worry. And I'll tell you how much the girls' game has grown. I'll tell you how much. 92.9 The Game will not only have the men's Final Four live on 92.9 The Game, we will also have the women's Final Four live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And I know you'll be tuned in to every second. My friend, appreciate it. And you know that your phone's going to be ringing a lot from the producers here over the next few 4, 5, 6 weeks.
Hey, I just appreciate you guys for having me. Blessings and prosperity. Go March.
There it is. There it is. That's Deshaun Tate. Catch him on all the social media platforms at Tate's Takes Hoops. Sports Radio 99 The Game. I'm late going to break, but when you got great conversation like that, you just let it ride. When we come back, Dom and I are going to break down what's going on in the world of entertainment, music, movies. We call it the culture conversation. It's been a while since we've had one, but we're going to do that next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Time out with Eric Slaughter, and take us with you everywhere on the Odyssey app. That is a classic right there. When I hear this song, I think about one of the opening scenes from the Welcome to Compton, or Straight Outta Compton movie, when Dr. Dre was laying on the floor in his bedroom and playing this song. That's sounds of the now late, great Ron Ayers, who passed away earlier this month. Sports Radio 929 The Game, Timeout with Eric Slaughter. Every once in a while when I do my show, when I get 3-4 hours, I take a segment where we throw the sports out the window for a little bit, and we call it the culture conversation. And Dom and I have done this before a few times. We talk about, you know, what the big movies are right now, what's the big storylines. As spring and summer comes around, we talk about what concerts that are going to be going, that you're going to go to, and things like that. So with this first spring-like Sunday, as we are officially in daylight savings time upon us, I figured we'd bring back the culture conversation. And I was talking to Dom. We had a little pre-show conversation. I say, hey, Don, we do culture conversation. Let's talk about, you know, some of the unfortunate, because it seems like we've had a lot of deaths here over the last week or two in the black music scene. And I actually just got an invitation because I know her publicist. I've got an invitation to not only the public viewing, but to the private viewing of Angie Stone this upcoming weekend. Is going to be in Austell. And Angie Stone died last Sunday, en route back from Alabama to Atlanta, where she resides. She was in a car accident with her traveling entourage, and she passed away. And we did a big tribute to Angie Stone downstairs on both V103 and News and Talk WLK all week long. And if you don't know some of the great songs Angie Stone put in R&B, just look up her, you know, her what is it, catalog? Is that the right word?
Yeah, catalog, discography, whatever you want to say. Either one.
She did a lot of songs. And Ron Ayers, who you just heard, was a writer and a musician that they say that his music has been sampled, some of the most sampled music in the history of music.
Yeah, Roy?
Yeah, Roy Ayers. Yeah.
That song alone.
That song has been sampled like 100,000 times.
Thousands of times, yes.
Crazy. So, yeah, and then we also, you know, I was looking at some of the people that died, passed away. She didn't pass away in the past week or two, but did you know Biggie's mom passed away?
I did.
A lot of Wallace.
Yes, I did.
You know, I mean, of course, I'm a 90s guy. So Biggie was, I mean, I love having a debate about who had some of the best debut hip hop albums of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if you say Ready to Die was not two or three of one of the greatest hip hop debut albums of all time, you just don't know the conversation. Okay. I mean, yes. DMX is when Hell is High. What was DMX's album called? Is Hell is High, Dark is Dark?
Yeah, it's Dark and Hell is Yeah, something like that.
One of the greatest hip-hop debuts of all time. I know they say Reasonable Doubt by Jay-Z was a great album lyrically, but commercially, it actually didn't do that great. Okay, what Biggie's album did and what DMX's albums did commercially, even though their lyrics were great, they sold millions and millions of copies of that debut album.
Right.
So when I learned that Valletta Wallace died, and of course she's been, you know, some of the biggest actors in Hollywood have played her in all these movies that they have made about either the Biggie and Tupac rivalry or the Biggie life. So, yeah, she passed away. And then Roberta Flack. Strumming my pain with your fingers. That, I mean, when Lauryn Hill remade Killing Me Softly, the original done by Roberta Flack, she passed away. I think it's been about just over 2 weeks now that she passed away. Just so many big names in culture and black music that we've lost already in 2025, and we're only into March, so it's a shame. And then, of course, we talked about it a lot here on 99 The Game. Gene Hackman, one of the celebrity actors, you know, passed away at the tender age of 95. I didn't realize he had, you know, gotten to be that age. He's just legendary. I mean, I heard, I was listening to Carl and Mike and Andy and Randy talk about it, and they would say, oh, what are your favorite Gene Hackman roles? If you didn't start with Lex Luthor in Superman, because he was he was one of the best villains. He wasn't a villain that you had to have you didn't have to have a gun to be a villain.
Nope.
You know, all you had to do was have some kryptonite in the necklace. That's all you had to have. And he could rule the world, because that's what Lex Luthor wanted to be. And then, of course, he was the sheriff in Unforgiven. And I remember when you just shot an unarmed man. Well, he should have armed himself. You know, that was a great Western, you know. So he passed away, unfortunately. And then, you know, just a lot of things going on. But that's enough about people who passed away. Let's talk about the living. So, Dom, I'm looking at what the top albums of 2025 have been. And I'm looking at, so we are 7, 8, 9 weeks into 2025. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the top 7 albums of 2025 so far are all hip-hop artists.
Oh, yeah, that's not surprising.
Okay. Lil Baby, who is going to be in tour here in the first week of June. Get your tickets.
Mm-hmm.
His Wham was the number one album in January. SZA, who she was on that halftime show, wasn't she?
Yep, yes, she was there at the halftime
show.
She
started the year. First 2 weeks of January, her album, SOS, was the number one album.
Yep, the Deluxe, the SOS Lana Deluxe, okay. Yep.
The Weeknd, haven't heard his name in a while, former halftime Super Bowl performer, had the number one album in the second week of February.
Yep, okay, Hurry Up Tomorrow, very good album.
You know, I mean, it's not surprising that the week after the Super Bowl, that The Weeknd, I'm not sorry, not the week, that Kendrick Lamar had the number one album in Billboard's top 100,
mm-hmm.
okay? And then exactly one week later, the guy that his famous feud is, and I guess it says Drake and Party Next Door, there was a collaborative
album.
Yeah,
a little collab album. Mm-hmm.
Okay, you got to, because, you know, I'm not real big on this. So, and then who are these last two people? Because I'll be honest with you, if they came up and mugged me, I wouldn't know who Bad Bunny or Tate McRae was. Who are these people?
Okay, Tate McRae is a, I believe Tate McRae is a country artist, but Bad Bunny is huge. He's a huge Latin Hispanic artist who's taken up. He's basically like Spanish Drake. He is huge.
Really? Okay,
yes.
So I need to correct you. So Tate McRae is a female.
I said country artist.
Yeah, well, okay, I thought you said he. Did you say he? No.
Oh, I don't think I did.
Okay, well, Tate McRae is a she, and she's from Canada, and her genre is... what is it? I don't know. They don't say where her genre of music is, but she is definitely a very, at the tender age of 21, a very high selling artist. And she currently has, she's this week's number one selling artist, Tate McRae.
Okay. Alt pop is apparently her deal. Okay.
So she's the next, what's her girl name that's dating Kelsey Jason?
Oh, Taylor Swift. She's Canadian Taylor Swift.
Is she? Yeah, I don't know. You tell me. Like I said,
Taylor Swift.
I guess Tate McRae wouldn't, you know, mug me as she's a female and she looks like she's pretty petite. If I was
those
next
be
to
the ones that get
if
you.
If I was next to her in the checkout line at Kroger buying $1,000 in eggs, because that's what eggs cost this week? $55, $90,
something like
that. I wouldn't know who she was. I wouldn't know who she was. So those are the top albums of this year. Tate McRae, Drake, Kendrick Lamar, The Weeknd, SZA, some big names. Over in movies, number one this weekend in the box office, don't know, have any idea what this is, Mickey 17.
Okay, I do know what that movie is. It's a Robert Pattinson play is the main character. I'm not exactly sure. It looks like it's kind of like a sci-fi type deal where it looks like he's someone that
Mickey
they
17,
bring.
Known as an expendable, goes on a dangerous journey to colonize an ice planet.
Yeah, because, like, he's expendable because, like, I think, like, he's, like, a clone. So, like, this is, like, the 17th iteration of the clone or whatever. So, like, they just keep cloning him every time he dies.
Okay, number two in this week's box office, Captain America, Brave New World.
Still haven't seen it. Need to.
Okay, I will see it when it gets to a streaming service.
Mm-hmm.
But do you still go to theaters?
Yes. Okay. I'm a huge movie theater person.
You and Abe Gordon keep the theaters in business.
Abe and I, we agree on movie theaters and Taco Bell.
Okay, Abe single-handedly keeps some AMCs in business.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are the big threes? AMC, what's the one that begins with R?
Oh, Regal?
Regal, yep. And is there any more?
What you've got? AMC, you've got Regal,
That's about it by now.
Those are like the two main large ones.
One of those, he single-handedly keeps in business. Because he's at the movies like every weekend. Yeah, no, I don't. Streaming service, sir. I'll catch it when it gets to whatever streaming service I'm still paying for, because I almost can't afford them anymore either, because they keep going up like every day and every week, especially with Netflix trying to conquer the sports world. And you know I'm going to pay that because I can't be without my sports. So Netflix going to get all my little Odyssey paycheck. So, you know, and then Amazon's another one. They taking over everything else too. So Paddington in Peru, Last Breath, and Dog Men round out your top five in the box office and movies this weekend. Do you know any of them?
I know Paddington. It's funny to me that that has been like such a big franchise. That's like the fourth Paddington movie they've made.
Really?
Yes.
This is an anime, isn't it? Or is it?
Yeah, it's an anime. It's like based off of it's like a British children's book, Paddington the Bear.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it. Paddington returns to Peru to visit his beloved Auntie Lucy And he's currently third in the box office, the home of retired Bears. All right. I now have grandnieces. I'm getting old. My niece, my 30-year-old niece, just had twins a little while ago. So I have grandnieces.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. It just make me feel old. My God, my God. She just celebrated her 30th birthday up in New York. Up there, she better be safe, having a good time. But she has twin grandnieces, man. I tell you. Sports Radio 1990 Game Timeout with Eric Slaughter. Having a little culture conversation with Eric and Dom. When we get into the 7 o'clock hour, we will talk some Falcons at 7:20. Aaron Freeman, the host of the Locked On Falcons podcast, will be joining us. But as we wrap up this culture conversation, one of the last things I'll ask, and I asked Dom because I didn't watch any of it. Did he watch any of the – last week was the Oscars. I don't know who won best – I know Zoe Saldana. Is that how you say her name?
Zoe Saldana.
Saldana, thank you. She won best actress, right? Or best supporting
Best supporting actress,
okay,
yeah.
I was happy about that. I don't think there was any other black actors or actresses that won any major awards. I know one of the black fashion designers won best costume or something like that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think from the other ones. I was checked out on award season this year.
Really?
Big time.
Why is that? Are you usually checked in?
I haven't been for a while. So, when I was younger, I was really into it.
Okay.
But probably for, the past 7-8 years, I'm just kind of like, whatever.
I think it was either me and Chris Turtle Thomas or me and Garrett Chapman. I think it was Chris. We went through, a list of all the best pictures of all time and kind of circled how many we've seen or watched.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
I've seen quite a few, but I there's a few out there that I need to see, I've never seen the original Godfather. I need to see that.
Crazy.
Yeah, I mean, Sam Crenshaw and Sam and Greg used to get on me every day. You still ain't seen the Godfather, shame on you. I've never seen, Gone with the Wind or some of those.
That's okay.
But
that's
I've seen, right, some of those. I've seen Heat and I've seen Gladiator. The new Gladiator came straight to streaming service. I got to check that out. Have you seen the new Gladiator?
I did. I didn't like it.
You didn't like it? Okay. Of course, I remember when that run, when Tom Hanks had that run of 4 years where he was always best picture and we had Lost or...
Yeah,
Alone. What was the one where he was on the island by himself? Alone?
Oh, Castaway.
Castaway. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Forrest Gump. Those were back-to-back.
Yeah.
Two dramatically different type movies, back-to-back, won best picture and he won best...
Range.
I want to say he won best actor for each one of them. Crazy like that. But that's our culture conversation here on Sports Radio 929 Game. We're going to get back to sports. We just want to take a minute and do that. Sports Radio 929 Game, Time Out with Eric Slaughter. Going into the 7 o'clock hour, yeah, we're going to talk some Falcons because we have not talked any Falcons yet tonight. Free agency is at our footsteps, doorsteps, whatever you want to call it. What can and will the Falcons do? We're going to talk about that next. Sports Radio 929 Game, all day, every day on the Odyssey app.